Hello, everybody, and welcome to the FridayNightOhio.com podcast. I'm here with Mike Popovich from the Canton Repository and Michael Bevan from the Akron Beacon Journal. How are you guys doing this evening?
Doing very well, Cliff.
Doing very well, yes. Doing well, and had another fun week of high school football.
Well, we've got a lot of great games to talk about. We're going to start out in the Federal League tonight. Mike, McKinley defeated Lake 28-16. Looks like another big win for the Bulldogs. How did that one break down?
Well, for McKinley, they're kind of in the middle of a meat grinding part of their schedule. I remember we talked about early in the year, they opened the season with Mentor, Austin Town Fitch, and Wayne, and now they're going through Hoover, Lake, and Jackson, and they're able to pick up a win tonight against Lake. They scored two defensive touchdowns. Harold Fannin had a 24-yard interception return for a touchdown, and Sincere McNeil in the fourth quarter kind of closed it out for them with a 97-yard interception return for a touchdown. And he also had a touchdown reception earlier in the game. So McKinley improves to 4-3. And like I said, they play Jackson next week. And Jackson is 7-0 right now. They beat Glen Oak tonight 31-0. Another big game for Brendan Craig, 169 yards rushing and two touchdowns. And he went over the 1,000-yard rushing mark for the second straight season. He's now up to 1,057 yards. And Jackson is 7-0 for the first time in 1991. So big test for them next week against McKinley to see if they can keep their record intact. And the big test for McKinley is they try to gain some momentum before the postseason starts.
Sure, and one I'll touch on real quick here. Hoover defeated Perry 27-10. Perry got off to a 10-0 lead in that game, but Hoover comes from behind to win that one 27-10. Another really strong defensive effort by the Vikings. It limited Perry to just 96 yards rushing and 63 yards passing. And then a game Michael was taking a look at. Green defeated Louisville tonight, 49-24. A nice win there for the Green Bulldogs.
Yeah, Green put up 481 yards of offense. They really had a good go of it. Trevor Van Horn completed 30 of 40 passes for 304 yards. He was throwing the ball around the yard. You know, once again with Trey Martin, one of their best running backs, or I'm sorry, one of their best wide receivers. And four touchdown passes for Van Horn. So that's a nice outing there for the Green Bulldogs.
Mike, you also, follow Manchester. And, early in the season when Manchester was, they started out kind of slow. And now they're on a roll right now. They beat Triway tonight 42-12, switching over to the Pac-7 here. What have you... from your following them, what's been kind of the turnaround for them?
Yes, for Manchester, it's been running the football. Getting back to their roots. But before we go any further, I misspoke. Trevor Van Horn had four touchdown rushes. So just to clarify that. But yeah, Manchester, they love to run the ball. I mean, that's what they've done for years with Jim France. They're doing it now with Coach Jay Brophy. They've got a lot of different guys that can tote the ball and make things happen. Riley Soles had a rushing touchdown tonight. So did Jackson Doherty. Cooper Briggs, so those three guys all scored via the rush. Trent Tappas threw a touchdown pass to Jordan Schindewolf. And then making plays, on defense. Mason Palace with an 85-yard touchdown on a fumble return. On special teams, Josiah Cox blocked a punt that Kenton Duty scooped up and then ran back for a touchdown. And a kid by the name of Jaden Johnston had a blocked PAT, also had an interception. So just, a variety of ways where Manchester's making plays. They've always been very sound defensively through the years. I mean, there are a few games when they'll give up big plays and obviously some points, but they've really, tightened it up defensively here during the last few weeks and then running the football with Soles, Doherty, Briggs, and so forth.
Yeah, Manchester beats Triway tonight 42-12, and we're at the point in the Pac-7 now where the leaders are going to start to play each other. Manchester played Triway tonight. Both teams were undefeated in the Pac going in. And then next week, Manchester plays at Fairless. Now they're the two remaining unbeaten teams in the Pac-7. Fairless tonight beat Loudonville 32-14. Fairless is 7-0 for the first time in program history. And, you know, they've got a great running back in Hunter Campbell, who scored two more touchdowns tonight. And he also had a fumble return for a touchdown. Brody Pumneo returned a kickoff for a touchdown. He caught a long touchdown pass for Carson Colucci. So Fairless keeps their unbeaten record intact. They play Manchester next week, and then they play Triway the week after that. So this is going to be their two biggest hurdles if they want to wrap up the Pac-7 title, which would be their first league championship in 42 years and possibly have an undefeated regular season.
And we're going to move along now to the Eastern Buckeye Conference and a game I was at tonight, Canton South and Alliance. The Wildcats won that one 40-25. Big showing from Jack Pucci Snyder, the sophomore quarterback. He threw for 299 yards and four touchdowns. He also returned an offensive fumble, 20 yards for a touchdown. No punts tonight for Canton South. They lined up to do it one time, and Alliance jumped off sides into the neutral zone, and then they never saw a punt again the rest of the night. Alliance showed some pretty impressive flashes. Brendan Zurbrug at 6'3", looks like a quarterback that's going to be really, really good the next couple years. Caden Davis ran the ball well. The Aviators did have a couple of fumbles there that hurt them, but they fought till the end. But Canton South just too much firepower with guys like Caleb Lott and Akeel Martin out wide. That's a pretty dangerous team. West Branch, meanwhile, if you're looking at the EBC, they're the only undefeated team in the conference left. They knocked off Carrollton 43-12. Carrollton was also unbeaten in the conference coming into that into tonight. Drew DeShields with another big evening. So that will about probably be how the EBC is going to shake out down the stretch. It's going to come down to West Branch probably taking that one here in the final weeks, barring something really unexpected. And Mike, you were also out at East Canton tonight, weren't you?
Yeah, I was out at East Canton, really not so much to cover their game against Strasburg. They easily won that game 41-6. But, you know, East Canton, you know, you're at the point of the season where you're trying to, you know, you're trying to build something over your last few weeks and, you know, try to get into the postseason. And East Canton has had a couple of games canceled because of COVID issues. One involving them early in the season and last week a game against New Comerstown. So, you know, just going out there to kind of, you know, figure out, you know, talk to them about the challenges. And, you know, basically what their head coach, John Spider Miller, said last week, you know, while they were trying to get a game, you know, they basically kind of, you know, went back to the basics as far as football and try to build on that. You know, there wasn't really an opponent to scheme or whatever. And, you know, he feels that, you know, despite not playing last week, they've come out of it as a better team. Chase Vacco, who started the season as a running back, has moved to quarterback because of an injury to Brennan Betts. And he had, well over 100 yards rushing along with Jake McCullough. They really do run the ball well. So, you know, hopefully they're, for their sake, you know, they're just hoping for some smooth sailing here to end the season well. They have a shot to go into their final game of the season against Malvern with a shot to play for the Intervalley Conference North title in that game.
All right, and now we're going to turn our attention over to some games up in Michael Bevin's area. And he was at a really exciting game tonight. Why don't you tell us a little about Nordonia and Hudson?
Yes, Nordonia and Hudson was a pretty entertaining game. It was an interesting game where offensively, you know, both sides were really clicking in the first half. Hudson was ahead 28-22 at halftime. Problem for Hudson was they did not score in the second half. Nordonia got a touchdown there with just 27 seconds to go to win the game, 29-28, they made their PAT. And really, it came down to the big plays. It's kind of cliche, but in this one for Nordonia, in the last 4 minutes, they had four big plays all by seniors. Jared Zender, Nick Schaub, Mark Wilson, Cooper Russ, Andrew Lasaka, and Brian Russ were the guys that really came through in the clutch for them. The headlining play, as I said, 27 seconds to go, Mark Wilson throws an 8-yard touchdown pass to Cooper Rusk, and Andrew Lasaka kicks the extra point to give them that 1-point victory. Brian Russ had an interception on the final play for Hudson, where he snagged an INT near midfield, and then Mark Wilson took a knee to run out the clock. But prior to that, they were able to get the ball on a turnover by Hudson with 3:20 to go. Zender forced a fumble that Schaub recovered on Nordonia's 9-yard line. So they go 91 yards, march down the field. They get that TD pass, and it was pretty impressive. Wilson finished 27 of 42 for 291 yards. Matt Hayes had 8 receptions for 116 yards. So they were really moving the ball there. And for them, this is a big win for them that it gives Hudson their first loss of the season. So both teams are now 6-1. And for the Explorers, Jagger Pillay had a real nice first half. He threw 3 touchdowns. One apiece to Aiden Law, Shane Kilfoyle, and Colin Pierce. And then Aiden Law also added a rushing touchdown. So for the Knights, the big thing was defense. Last week, they shut out Wadsworth. And then tonight, they shut out Hudson for a half. So Coach Jeff Fox is feeling really good about what he's got going on there at Nordonia.
And then a couple Suburban League games your way. Barberton shuts out Copley 33-0. And Wadsworth wins a close one against Stowe, 21-20. What do you make of those?
Yeah, that was a bit surprising with Wadsworth knocking off Stowe. Stowe was, you know, a very highly regarded team coming into the season with several Division I college-level recruits. But Wadsworth, Luke Fisher, 2 touchdown passes tonight for the Grizzlies, one to Anthony Serino and the other to Dean Reddish. And Kyle Figure had a rushing touchdown. So huge win for Wadsworth. They get shut out last week by Nordonia. They were really down in the dumps, and then they were able to come back and knock off the Stowe Bulldogs team, who was undefeated in the Suburban League National Conference. So now you got a pretty interesting top group there in the Suburban League National with Wadsworth, Stowe, Nordonia, and Hudson. And as you mentioned, Barberton, they've been on a roll lately. They lost to Stowe earlier in the season, but they've been really clicking offensively. Chandon Lee tonight had 2 touchdown passes for the Magics in their win over Copley. He also rushed for a touchdown. Cameron Macon's been a guy I've written about multiple times this year. He had 134 yards rushing tonight. I had a touchdown on 21 carries. And Roosevelt Andrews and Cage Lowe are two other guys that really make a lot of plays for them on both offense and defense. Cage Lowe had 2 touchdowns tonight for Barberton. And Roosevelt Andrews, you know, he had 2 sacks. And just a guy that really gets after it along with John Jackson. So Barberton and Aurora over in Portage County, Aurora's undefeated. They knocked off a really good Cleveland Heights team tonight. So those two teams right now appear to be the class of the Suburban American Conference.
And then taking a look at the Metro Athletic Conference, Norton defeated Cloverleaf tonight, 34-3.
Yeah, Norton is one of those surprise stories. They knocked off Streetsboro last week. They are undefeated. First time they've been undefeated in quite some time this late into the season. And you just look at how they're doing things. They've got these two guys, Bedeau, Reed Bedeau and Cam Bedeau, that are very talented, and Cooper Napolo, that are really, you know, coming through for them in a variety of ways. And for Coach Kevin Pollock, this is kind of the dream season so far. They're 7-0. They knocked off Cloverleaf tonight in a comfortable manner, and they move on to next week.
And then we have a couple games in the city of Akron tonight. St. Vincent, St. Mary, 49. Ursuline from Youngstown, 14. And then Firestone, 24. North 0, and that one was played at Ellett. Anything interesting there, Michael?
Yeah, for St. Vincent St. Mary especially, I saw them last week. They really struggled against Warren Harding in the second half especially. Warren Harding had some real fast, talented players, and St. Vincent St. Mary, their running back, George Lindberg, is a pretty talented back. He got a little banged up with a knee injury, but apparently he wasn't too banged up because he came out today, 31 carries, 195 yards, 4 touchdowns. And from talking to Michael Leonard, who covered that game, he said Lindberger was very good. And then Terrell Hobson and Joe Colby for St. Vincent and St. Mary had interception returns for touchdowns. Sean Lodge and Kai White also had an interception. So for them, they were able to turn them over. Four interceptions. I mean, when you do that, that's pretty big time. They had a kickoff return for a touchdown. I mean, they're making things happen. They play Hoban next week, and Hoban is off tonight. They do play tomorrow at St. Francis, New York. And as you mentioned, Firestone 24-0 over North over at Ellet. Firestone's kind of had a bit of a tough season, but they do have some talented players. Prince Winchester's been a pretty consistent playmaker for them at quarterback. And Xander Obang and Howard Anderson are two other guys on their offense. And then defensively, Daniel Harper and Carlo Johnson have really been making plays. And sticking with the City Series, just in closing, two big games tomorrow here in Akron. Buchtel is hosting East, and Ellet will be at Kenmore Garfield. And KG's coming off a nice win last Saturday at home against Buchtel. So that's kind of makes for an interesting Saturday afternoon here at the City of Akron.
I was curious, Michael. I was considered the Akron East beat writer since I saw their first three games down here this season when they played Jackson Lake and Perry. And I saw Eric Holly play. I thought he was really, really good. He was injured in one of these games. Is he back for East?
I believe so. He did. Yeah, he scored like two touchdowns last week in their victory over Firestone over at Ellet. So he is back. I have not been able to see them play. As you mentioned, they played so many games down in Stark County. You guys have seen him more than we have. But he's a really talented athlete, a basketball player, football player. He's committed to play at the University of Akron, both sports, which obviously is very challenging. And we'll see if he can, you know, make that happen. But I believe that football is kind of the number one sport for him, and then basketball is number two. And I talked to him during the summer, and he said he loves basketball. That's been his first love, the sport he's played the most. But just looking at his size and how he projects, it appears that being a wide receiver at the next level on the University football team might be his best bet.
Well, Akron had a two-way player back in the day named Russell Holmes who played football and basketball, and he went on to play in the National Football League for a bit. So, you know, this kid looks like he's really talented that, you know, able to do that. That would be fun for him.
Absolutely. Didn't Jason Taylor briefly play on the Akron men's basketball team? I mean, I know obviously he's a football legend, but didn't he briefly play on the men's basketball team for the Zips?
You know what? I don't know. And as we turn this into a University of Akron Athletics podcast, I don't know. That sounds familiar. I'll have to check on that.
Yeah, they had one. I know they had a guy named Jake Schaffino who did both. But it's going to be difficult. But to answer your initial question, yes, he is healthy. And he will be, as far as I know, he'll be suiting up tomorrow when East plays Buchtel.
All right. I think that puts the bow on another week here, gentlemen. Is there anything else any of you would like to add here?
No, we're getting into league championship deciding time here as we hit weeks 8, 9, and 10. And, you know, I'll be interested in seeing how, like I talked about earlier, how the pack shapes up and, still a lot to play for in the Federal League as, Jackson tries to keep their spot at the top of the league. And, we'll see how things go.
Yeah, I would echo that. Just playoff positioning, playoff points. It's cliche, but there's still a lot to play for. It's expanded the playoff field this year, so a lot more teams are playing for an opportunity to play in Week 11. So that certainly makes it fun. And the undefeated teams, as you mentioned, Jackson, I mentioned Aurora. Another team that we did not mention yet is Medina. Drew Allers having a fantastic season at quarterback. So just to see if those teams can finish out a perfect regular season, with three more games to go.
All right. That's going to do it for this episode of the Friday Night Ohio podcast. We'd like to thank Mike Popovich from the Canton Repository and Michael Bevan from the Akron Beacon Journal for joining us. And we hope you join us next week on our respective channels. This is kind of a joint effort, and next week things will probably be back to a little more what everyone sees as normal. So we will see you then.
Thank you.